So I'm joined by my first interview of this morning, an amazing, very, very powerful person. Good morning, Nadine. Are you there?
I am. I'm here, Shane. How are you?
I'm fantastic. That's always like the 2 or 3 second where you're like, are you there? Can you hear me? So you're
no
very welcome.
Glitches.
Good morning anyway, and thank you for joining me. So before we just jump in, Nadine, we're pals. Came across you 10 years ago. You cut my hair, and ever since then we've been in touch on and off, but you just keep popping up in my life.
That's
you're an
right.
inspiration. You're an inspiration. I'm following you on Instagram. Love your stories. I love your zen. Tell us about you.
Yeah, I know. I get good feedback about the zen. I think, to me, I kind of, I think I underestimate it because I'm so accustomed to it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because I've been in the world, I dived into the world of, I suppose, spirituality, you probably would call it, like a long time ago. I think I was maybe 17 or 18 when I first started to get that kind of curiosity of, I suppose, more and wanting a greater understanding. But I do remember, like I vividly remember as a young child, first of all, feeling like I didn't really belong and feeling like the world was insane, or either the world was insane or I was insane. And I could also see, as much as I could see joy, as all children do, I could also see like the darkness or the shadows, if you want to call it that. And even just to give you like a small example, say an argument might break out in the household, like a normal family argument, I would kind of like stand back and almost track it, like where the argument started, who brought it into the house with them, and how it jumped from one person to another. And I also was able to kind of do that. It was like as a young child, I had enough self-awareness to even know when that was me, when I maybe carried a negative energy in and when I maybe started an argument or little things like that. So I kind of spent my childhood kind of second guessing my own thought processes because I realized I think they were unusual.
Okay, interesting.
And I know that's kind of I think where and how it started way back that small, like maybe 4 or 5.
But so when you say it started, what exactly do you mean?
So I always felt like at the time I would have said God, because I only had, I suppose, Catholic references for a higher power. But I always felt very connected to a God force, like no matter what I needed or wished for or asked for, I would get. And not necessarily material things, but I felt like supported. I felt like connected.
Powerful.
To something. Like, and I felt supported for sure. And I also felt like I was weird is I suppose the only word I have for it, because I did feel like there was a difference. Like there was a difference between me and my sisters. There was a difference between me and my cousins. There was a difference between me and my parents. And actually that, and I felt like there was lots of insanity in the world from a young age, and I felt like sensitive and I suppose uncomfortable in lots of situations. But that kind of led me into having like in my teenage years, then I had like, I think a self-loathing is the best way of describing it. I just felt like I didn't belong in my skin or in my body or in the world.
Okay, so what did you do?
I know. So I would pray. I would pray quite a bit. And I remember I had a client, actually. I had a client when I was maybe 18. I qualified when I was 18, so I'm pretty young.
So you qualified in what, really, for anyone listening?
So I'm a hairdresser by trade. In school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I was always less academic. Actually, I think I probably would have been dyslexic now that I look back. I had to work really hard to be able to like read and write well, and I only really can do that now in later life, and I still probably wouldn't call it well. But I was definitely more creative than academic in school, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I kind of wanted to either do art or psychology, but I had I was in a stage school, and to be able to afford the stage school, I worked part time from the age of 14 in a hairdresser's, and like I just picked everything up. I just had an innate ability to just see and repeat. It just wasn't difficult for me at all, and like I suppose when you pick things up that easily, everyone kind of rants and raves about you, and I was really encouraged to kind of stay in hairdressing. So I thought, well, if I stay in hairdressing, I feel like I can qualify really quickly, and then I'll be able to well, the plan at the time was to kind of go back to college and be able to nick through college and support myself through college. But I just got so engulfed in the creativity of hairdressing and the world of hairdressing. I very quickly qualified. I was quickly on lots of creative teams, lots of big brands, and I was traveling the world, and I was getting to work with like really big magazine labels and fashion labels. And I didn't then feel the need to go back to college, and I actually just loved the daily hairdressing, because I loved just like the magic for me in hairdressing was just how many people you get to meet a day, how many conversations you get to have, and just the sharing of wisdom. Like I feel like I was able to gain so much wisdom from the challenges and mistakes and paths of other people than maybe I even learned from my own. And it just gave me this kind of worldliness where you can kind of communicate with anyone and everyone and just see the empathy in every situation and have compassion for everybody. And as well, the big aha is just that everyone is a victim of circumstance. Like you come into this world as a new baby, you don't feel unloved, you feel like perfection, and everything after that you absorb from your circumstance, and that really defines who you are. And it's only if you're lucky enough to kind of somewhere along the line get some self-awareness that you can reflect and maybe choose and change how you want to show up in the world and who you want to be in the world, as opposed to who you were molded to be, if that makes sense.
100%, totally. So where are you at now? What are you doing with your life?
Yeah, so now...
Are you still hairdressing?
I am still hairdressing, but definitely not nearly as much, even though I do really miss it, and I just admire and adore and respect hairdressers so much. I just think they're the most wonderful, hardworking people, creative people, compassionate people in the whole wide world. But like the spiritual side of things just has me in its snare. Like I remember I read the first book I ever read was recommended to me by a client, a really powerful client like that when I was maybe 18. It was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. It probably would have only been written around that time, because that was maybe 15 years ago now. I remember first reading it and being like really offended, like so offended that I considered bringing it around to a charity shop. And then I thought, I don't want anybody who needs to shop in a charity shop to even read this, because it was just so offensive to me at the time.
That rings a bell with me, and the reason being it rings a bell is because I've heard about it so much. I'm a qualified life coach. Yeah. It was on the agenda in life coaching, and I picked it up and I couldn't read it. A friend of mine, and I'm nearly sure she's listening now, Lisa gave me that book a couple of months ago, and I started reading it, and I just couldn't gel to it.
It's
sitting on the bookshelf in my sitting room, and I lent it
to me. There's not a doubt in my mind, Shane, that when you are ready for that book, you will read it, and it will be like, what book did I read before? Because it will just ping, 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 ping with you, and it will expand your mind and it will explode your heart.
But here's the thing, I lent it out to one of my clients a couple of weeks ago. I got it back only maybe like 2 weeks ago, and the client said to me, oh God, I wouldn't be into that now, it's very hard. Much preferred The Secret, much preferred The Power by The Secret, and it's still sitting there. But I'll give it a shot when it's ready, obviously.
So this is the thing, I mean, like that, I was highly offended by that book, honestly.
What do you mean by that?
Just like I was totally resistant of it. I felt like the book was basically saying, Nadine, you're insane. And when you're, well, I was so busy judging everybody else for being insane and the whole world for being insane that I didn't want to look at my own insanities and face my own insanities. And that's why I thought this is actually, this book is more damaging than it is healing. But it followed me around. It jumped off. I ended up putting it in the bin. I put the book into the green wheelie bin. Now this is going back like 12 years ago, and then I was in Australia. I did a couple of months in Australia myself and Lily Bell, because I had Lily Bell when I was 19, and she just has come everywhere on every adventure and she's been a part of every triumph and every challenge. And anyway, we were in Australia, and the book literally jumped off a shelf to me, and I said, I better just try and read this again. And when I read it again, I just was like, this is the only truth anybody will ever need. But still now, Shane, all the time I get asked to recommend books, and I'm always apprehensive to recommend that one. Because I realise it's really for a certain person at a certain time in their lives.
Okay.
And when it makes sense, it makes sense, and it won't make any sense until you're ready for it. That's the only way I can explain it. I read The Secret when I was about 18 as well, and like I think I got a little bit obsessed with The Secret because I was a bit like, okay, so I need to really concentrate on thinking about that. Oh, I forgot to think about that. Oh, I forgot to think like that about that. So I felt like I was thinking negatively about trying to think positively.
Okay.
And then, like you, I read The Power, and I felt, I don't know, The Power made more sense to me, and I was able to adopt the message of The Power a lot quicker. And I do think The Secret was maybe the first book that kind of opened the doors to the Law of Attraction.
It's a very easy read, though, as well. You can resonate
it really
with it,
is.
You know. And
it really is,
it's quite basic.
And it does give you the tools and, I suppose, the direction to start making those small changes. And after I read The Secret then, and The Power of Now, one book would lead me to another book, one teacher would lead me to another teacher, one practice would lead me to another practice. And it just made sense. It wasn't difficult then. From there on, like after that kind of awakening moment, from there on in, they weren't difficult. I remember when they were difficult concepts for me to adopt, and I had to try really hard to live that way.
Okay.
But then there was a shift, and then I felt like this is just the natural way of being. It's so natural, it's
okay.
Harder to live the
Do you feel safe
way.
Now?
I mean, there's challenges, don't get me wrong. Like, life I don't think ever gets smooth and perfect. I think that's a misconception of life. I think we're chasing after something that doesn't exist. If that's why you're in this spiritual world, is because you're chasing this easy, perfect life. It doesn't exist. There's always going to be
a distraction.
Sorrow. There's always going to be challenge. There's always going to be confusion. There's always going to be shadows lurking. Do you know? But they are. I think that if I had a mantra, it would absolutely be, everything is happening for you, as opposed to not everything is happening to you.
Okay.
So sometimes we're, why me? Why is this happening to me? And the shift is, why me? Why is this happening for me? What's the gain? What's the growth? What's the opening? What's the discovery? You know, what's the new direction?
So what is happening for you at the moment? Because looking at your stories on Instagram and following you, looking at the images and looking at your little family and your lovely husband, it's like,
I know,
it's just
I
this,
know.
There's like
I
this
live,
level
I
of
do.
Peace with it, you know. You've recently moved, have you? Or you've
yeah, I recently
changed
moved,
location.
So I always lived in Dublin. I'm living in Galway at the minute. To cut a long story short, Lily Bell, who's my eldest girl, she is a gymnast. She's a high performance gymnast, and she trains 30 hours a week. Now she's just turned 12. She's been doing that since she's 7. She fell into gymnastics. She was naturally really good. She'd been training then with a coach in London, maybe once a month. The coach in London recommended that if she's to continue on this high performance path, with kind of Olympics in mind, but like if that doesn't happen, so be it. But basically, she's the potential for that path, and she needed to get to one of two coaches. One was in Belfast and the other was in Galway. She came to Galway and we trained part-time in Galway for about 6 months. And the coach in Galway, who's like the high-performance Irish gymnastics coach, said we would be delighted to have her full-time. And we had to decide then if we were going to make the move or not. I always envisioned, like, honestly, if I look back at journals from maybe 2 or 3 years ago, like, I write about the house, what it looked like, where it was, what I see when I look out my window. And, like, this is the very house I've drawn, which is okay. Weird.
So, and, like, so let's face it, from looking at your Instagram, and I'm going to keep, stepping back to that, you know, it's, like, peaceful, it's really open, it has this real calmness about it, and I can pick up these vibes from watching you, you know. So it looks like, wow. So from me looking in, it just looks like you've, you know, made a drastic change, but yeah, there's so many positives all around it.
There's so many positives, and I think as well, like, I'm just not afraid of change, because life is for living, and if it gets too stagnant, or if we get too attached to certain places, certain people, certain things, certain titles, or certain roles, job roles or any roles, then I think you just, it's, I don't think that's living. I think life is about experience and change.
How you react.
From that point of view, I'm not afraid to take risks. And I'm particularly not afraid to take risks if it's for the benefit of Lily Bell, because if you could meet Lily Bell, she's just
by the sounds of things, what you've done is you have made a very big change, but it has had a massive knock-on effect for you and your family. But also the massive benefit here is that your daughter is training to be the best. So it's
exactly,
like, it's all happening. To anyone listening that can kind of think, oh God, this sounds like me, or I feel like I'm very spiritually kind of engaged or connected, I want to get a little bit more info on this. What should they do?
Yeah, so like, it's like, I think the common way of living is living in struggle. Like, even like a little example might be just waking up in the morning and thinking, oh God, I have to go to work today, I have to meet that person, I have to ring my mom today, I have to go to the post office today, I have to. And when you change it to, I get it, like, I get to go to work today, I get to go to the post office today, I get to ring my mum today, I get to, like, my message is, life shouldn't feel like it's a struggle. It shouldn't feel like you're suffering. That's not what it's about. It also is never going to be easy, but life is for experiencing and for growth and to be able to make the most of it and carve out and design your own life how it suits you, not feeling like you're in competition or copying or meeting the demand or expectations of the world.
It's about paddling your own canoe, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And like I do, I have a beautiful relationship. I have gorgeous children. I've beautiful friends. I've successful business and business ideas and business and like future projects, and I've beautiful friends and a beautiful network, and like I feel very lucky. And that's not to say there's not days where like you want to take to the bed for the day. I'm not saying that they don't exist. It's not all rosy.
Okay.
But,
so every positive has a negative.
Exactly. But I don't wake up every day and feel like life is a chore. Life shouldn't be a chore, and if your life does feel like a chore, then I would absolutely encourage looking into meditation and taking baby steps at meditation. I would definitely read The Secret or The Power. They are really good introductory books.
Okay.
And actually, I must just say, there's a really good interview between Oprah and Esther Hicks. Esther Hicks channels Abraham, but to cut a long story short, The Secret is based on the work of Esther Hicks. And that actually, I think, explains it even deeper than maybe The Secret does.
Okay. Nadine, what empowers you to keep going?
What empowers me to keep going? I think it's self-discovery. I think it's to see, to experience more creativity, more love, to just see what I'm capable of. And
so it's testing yourself.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. What's next for you?
I think like every person is so vast. I think you are a microcosm of the macrocosm being the universe. You're an expression of the universe. There's so much to discover if you just dive in. And when you're in the grasp of it, you just feel like that this is the reason for living, do you know?
Okay, so it's having a reason. So what's next? This is the exciting part.
So I've been really exploring. I think it's very important. I think employers play a huge, I think it's a huge responsibility. I think to this point, like, you're an employer, the attitude of you're kind of lucky to have a job, I pay you. I think those days are gone. I think there's huge responsibility on the employer to create an environment where people can thrive. And I mean financially, emotionally, and spiritually. And I know...
So on the other side of things, right, I have to ask you this, because this totally resonates with me and past experiences. That's great because you're a total optimist and you want the best and you want to move forward and whatever else. But so what if you get somebody who's just happy coming to work 9 to 5, half an hour lunch every day? They have the same thing, a chicken sandwich and a bottle of water. You know, they're not a minute early, they're not a minute late. Are you seen as being pushy, you know, being an absolute not nice boss because of your expectations and your values?
Yeah, I think you are, because I think, like, you have to make sure, like, with all this spiritual stuff, like, people get to it when they're ready. You can't be, it sounds like you're speaking Chinese to somebody if you're preaching it to them and it's not their time for it, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And as well, everybody's happiness and definition of happiness and definition of a good life is different, and you have to allow everybody to be where
it's
they
respect,
are.
Really, isn't
if that
it?
Person, exactly, it's about non-judgment. If that person is happy, truly happy, coming in every day 9 to 5 on time with their chicken sandwich and their bottle of water, then actually there is a beauty in that. I think there's a real innocence and a beauty in that. And I also think that your responsibility as an employer is to create an open enough environment that if that person is having a bad day, or if that person starts to get curious and starts to seek more, that you're there and they feel safe to come to you and to ask you for the guidance. Like, Shane, I notice how you live is different to how I live. What are you doing? What's your secrets? And then it's your time, Shane, to I suppose, involve yourself in that person's life. You know?
But it's all about boundaries too, because let's face it, I'm like, I know certain people find me, you know, too loud, too full on, too hyper, but that's just me. I couldn't be bloody happier. But you have to, like, you know, understand that. But on the other side of things, I'm gonna find people that are quiet and boring and not active and not positive and not, you know. So you have to totally, like, understand that. But I just think that if you focus on yourself and if you stay strong-minded...
Oh, that's exactly... You know. If you focus on yourself, you can meet every human, no matter whether they are introvert or extrovert, whether they are hyper or lazy, whether they are positive or negative. You can meet those people where they are without judgment and make gorgeous connections and actually know that one day you might connect on a deeper level. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Even if you're not connecting with somebody right now. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, it's crazy. And, like, you know, I didn't see you for a couple of years, and then we had a mutual friend and I was doing some meditation or whatever, and then your name came up in a book that somebody had wrote, and I was like, what? And I sent you this message and I was expecting, oh yeah, that's great. And I got this, like, beautiful message back saying, aww, you know, I'll be here for you, I'll support you, I'll connect you. And instantly you were, like, in my inner circle, even though I don't see you that often. Yeah. But let's face
it,
like,
that's the beauty of social media.
Connection.
I know we give out about social media, and I know it is responsible for lots of negatives, but it's also responsible for so many positives. Like, I have so many people who I consider my best friends on social media, you being one of them, and I never actually have to see you guys in physical form, but I know that we're kindred spirits, we're like-minded people, we're on this kind of radiant path, and Like there's no path I'd rather be on, you know?
Absolutely. Nadine, it was beautiful speaking to you. Very powerful and very, very good indeed. You know, it's really funny actually, because something just ticked off there. So in the past couple of weeks or so, I have been a little small target on social media, and I've been, I suppose, a victim of like bullying and other bits and pieces. Okay, now I'm very strong minded. I've got my roots are embedded into the ground, and there's no stopping me. But you know, there was probably a couple of minutes where I was thinking, oh my God, what, like, you know, what do I do? I thought, you know, who am I or what am I? And I was like, you know what? I'm grass. No matter what happens, I'm going to grow and I'm going to learn from it. And it's like a simple little, like, basic, because let's face
it's
it, you know.
It's just a reminder. And it's funny because I've actually seen like a lot of other people, like there's been a couple of other people who I follow on social media who have big followings who've been victims of little attacks like that recently. So there must be something in the water. Maybe people have too much time on their hands. And there is no excuse for it. There is absolutely
it's not acceptable. End of story.
But what I will say is, Shane, imagine living as that person.
I pray for them, you know. I just smile. But it makes me want to even succeed even more. You know?
Yeah, how sad and how awful must it be to wake up as that person every day with that attitude and that state of being and that way of mind. Like, honest to God, I can have nothing, only sympathy, because
it's just not on.
People have a serious lack of love in their lives if all they can give out is hate. Mm-hmm. You know,
tough. Nadine, it was a pleasure speaking to you this morning. Thank you very, very much. You're an inspiration.
Thanks so much for having me on. You're so good. I really appreciate it.
Give us one word about how you're feeling right now.
I feel alive.
Alive, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And this one is for you, because you're a little uptown girl all the way down in Galway. Good morning. I'm Shane Lear. Have a lovely day.